The Spirit drove Jesus out into the desert, and he remained in the desert for 40 days. That seems like an odd way of starting a public mission of preaching. It's even stranger because our Lord had just ended his 30 years of hidden life, which was a preparation for his public ministry. And he had ended his hidden life by his baptism, which was a very public recognition that he was the Son of God and he was here for a purpose. So it would be natural for us to think that Jesus would immediately go out and start spreading the word. He would go out and set the world on fire, because that's what we would probably do. But Jesus doesn't do that. Instead, he goes into the desert. He retreats to a lonely place, because the desert continues his baptism. It's the final step of preparation before he begins his saving work. The baptism that Jesus had received was the baptism of John, which was a baptism of repentance, when one turned away from their sins. But Jesus was sinless. He had nothing to repent of. So instead of repenting of his own sins, Jesus repented of all the sins of everybody. At his baptism, he began taking on the sin of man. But he didn't just take on our guilt, he also took on the effects of sin. And these effects of sin, we know well, they're suffering, temptation, and ultimately death. And so he went into the desert to begin to feel those effects, because the desert is certainly a place of suffering due to deprivation. There's no food, there's no water, it's hot, it's just not a very comfortable place to be. And in the Old Testament, oftentimes when the Jews are in the desert, because of the deprivation they experience, they begin to doubt God, to doubt that he cares for them, and they turn away from him. So the desert is also a place of temptation, which is why our Lord is tempted in the desert by Satan himself. So after his 40 years in the desert, all that's left for our Lord to experience of sin is death. And he will experience that death in 3 short years on the cross. So we have just begun Lent, and Lent is a liturgical time of year when we go to join Christ in the desert, when we retreat to a lonely place with him. And we do that through penances, by making Lenten resolutions. And these penances are voluntary sufferings that we undertake. And because they're voluntary, they prepare us for death and resurrection. For the death and resurrection of our Lord on Good Friday and Easter, and also for our own death and resurrection, which awaits each of us at some point. And our penance is an act of faith in our Lord's power, because what we're doing is we're giving up some pleasure or comfort, and to do that doesn't make any sense unless we're doing it for something better, unless we believe there's a higher good we're working towards. So by our penance, we turn away from ourselves and our own attachments with the world, and we turn towards God. We die so that we can live in Christ. And from time immemorial, the church has always exhorted or encouraged 3 types of penances, 3 ways of dying so that we may live: prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. The first, prayer, is simply the lifting of the heart and the mind to God. We give him space in our lives in which to work. So it's great for us to create a schedule of prayer and stick to it. Because when we do that, we die to our own whims. When we pray, whether we feel like it or not, when we pray, whether we're busy or not, when we pray, whether there's other things we'd rather be doing, we're dying to our own attachments and instead letting Christ into that space. We're giving him a place to work in our lives. And we're affirming that time spent with God is precious. It's a worthwhile enterprise. And through that time we spend with God in prayer, our lives become modeled after Christ. The old adage, "Show me your friends and I'll show you who you are," is true, because the people we spend time with impact us. They change us to be like them. And so when we pray, the Lord changes us to be like him. The second form of penance, fasting. This is when we forego something good. And it can be food or it could be an activity that we enjoy, whatever. And this is when we die to our own preferences, to the things in the world that we really enjoy, oftentimes too much. And because we're denying something we want, it leaves us with an unfulfilled desire. And that desire is meant to remind us of God. So whenever we have that pang for whatever we've given up, It's a reminder that God is also there, and we should be desiring him even more than whatever we're fasting from. It's often through fasting that we come to realize how little we really desire God in comparison to the other things of the world. So I really love pizza, and oftentimes I'll have had 3 slices of pizza, and the spirits move me, don't have a 4th slice. Like, offer that to the Lord, and man, I want that 4th slice of pizza. And if only I could desire God a 10th as much as I do that 4th slice of pizza, how good that would be. So through fasting, we turn our focus from those things that are often trivial towards God. And we begin to realize that joy comes not from consumption of things and experiences, but from Christ. The third form of penance is almsgiving. And this is where we share our blessings with those who are in need. And this is when we give people money. We give up money, which is often one of the hardest penances for us to do, because we can do a whole lot of things with money. We can buy stuff, we can buy experiences, we can control the world around us, build up these illusions of security and self-sufficiency. Money, in many ways, represents our infinite desire for more. And so when we give up money, we're attacking that core desire we have, one of our greatest attachments. And we begin to live in the providence of God, first by recognizing that everything we have comes from him, and it will ultimately return to him, but also believing that he will provide for us because he is our loving Father. So for Lent, lots of people will give up something, which is great. You know, I'll give up chocolate or I'll give up soda. That's good, but we can go deeper than that. It would be great if everybody would make one resolution for each of those 3 categories. One resolution for prayer, one resolution for fasting, and one resolution for almsgiving. And the goal of our Lenten penances is to stretch us, but not to break us. So they should be painful. What we do for Lent should involve a real suffering, but it shouldn't be overwhelming so that we end up just focusing on our penances and how bad they are instead of on God. They're meant to lead us towards God. So obviously our resolutions have to be tailored to our circumstances and where we're at spiritually, but I have a few practical ideas that you may or may not find helpful. So for prayer, if we have no or minimal daily prayer, make a resolution to pray for 15 minutes each day. 15 minutes is not a very long amount of time, but if you pray for 15 minutes, first off, you'll discover how hard that is to do. There will be times where there's nothing you want to do less than pray. But if you're faithful to it, you'll be amazed at how much God can do in 15 minutes. If everyone in this parish for this Lent prayed for 15 minutes, we would be amazed at the change we would see, the miracles of grace that our Lord would work in our parish community. For our resolution for fasting, we could give up something at each meal. So if we really like salt, maybe not salt our food, or if we always drink soda or juice, whatever, maybe just drink water. Or we could abstain from an activity we really like, browsing the internet, using Facebook, watching YouTube, whatever. The idea is that we give up something that when it's missing, we'll notice it in our lives. Its absence will be felt. And whenever we feel that absence, it reminds us to turn to God, to ask him to fill that void that we have created. And then finally, a resolution for almsgiving. So first, decide what you want to give money to. Just any good cause will do, whatever's near and dear to your heart. It could be the parish, which I'm sure is what Father Saunders would tell you to do, or it could be a soup kitchen or Birthright. It doesn't really matter, but choose a cause and then choose an amount to give to it. And when choosing that amount, choose an amount that is large enough that it hurts to give it, but isn't irresponsible. You don't want to put, you know, you want to pay your mortgage and your car and stuff, obviously, but you should notice that the money is gone. You know, will you notice that a dollar is going to miss? Is that going to change your life? Are you going to really have to sacrifice? Probably not. $20? Maybe $100? I don't know what that number is. It depends. But it should be something that kind of hits you, where you have that instinct of saying, no, my money, I don't want to give it up. And then for families, it's great to do all 3 of these things together as a family. So give up something that you do as a family, maybe going out to eat a couple times during Lent or going to the movies, and then set aside that money to give to a cause and pray together as a family for that cause. And this is a great opportunity to get the kids involved. So you could get a jar and put it in a place where everyone can see it, and then whenever you give up something, let the kids put the money in the jar so they can see the fruits of their sacrifices growing, and let them be involved in picking what the money is going to go to so they get excited about seeing how their sacrifice has value. So it's tremendous. It's really helpful for children to see their parents modeling for them the power of sacrifice, the redemptive value that sacrifice has. And that's pretty much all there is to it. There's no secret to having a Lent. It's very simple when you boil it down to it. Prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. If you do those three things faithfully, you'll find Lent to be a spiritually enriching time, and you'll be well prepared for Easter. Because by our penance, we enter into the redemptive suffering of our Lord. We unite our sacrifices with his sacrifice. St. Teresa of Avila taught that suffering is a great favor. Remember that everything soon comes to an end, and take courage. Think of how our gain is eternal. Each of us has this spark of love within us for God, and our penance is the wind that blows that spark into a mighty fire that burns brightly and gives off tremendous heat. And that's the kind of love that our Blessed Mother have, because she was willing to suffer for the sake of Christ, to suffer with Christ. And because of her love, she was crowned queen of heaven and earth. May our Blessed Mother, who knows Christ's suffering so well, help us to suffer with him this Lent, so that we may rise with him at Easter. Mary, help of Christians, pray for us.